Good afternoon, and thanks for being here. I was wondering, 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, how many people would get here? So thank you for being here. Can anyone not hear me? If you couldn't, you couldn't raise your hand, I guess. All right, that's my joke for the day. So this is Michigan. We have 2 peninsulas with a current annual birth cohort of about 122,000. We have 45 local health departments that cover 83 counties. We have about 1,300 VFC providers. 100 of those are our public local health department sites, so we have about 1,200 private VFC providers in Michigan. This is our beautiful Mackinac Bridge that connects the two peninsulas. And these are just a few of the reasons why we encourage and educate our providers to assess immunization status at every visit, but also to immunize every vaccine at every visit, because this is what we're working at preventing. As most of you may know, the history of AFIX, or if you don't, years ago, the state of Georgia started conducting assessments in their provider offices using a methodology to identify an estimated coverage level and also to identify barriers and solutions to those barriers to immunizing their patients. CDC recognized their accomplishments and created a CASA software system, now referred to as COCASA, and they asked their states and grantees to conduct chart reviews and assessments at provider offices, which we now refer to as AFIX. In Michigan, it started back in 1995 with our then program manager, who helped review up to 200 patients' charts at each provider office, entering dose dates, names of children, and birth dates into that CASA software program, returning to the state office, generating the CASA reports, and then mailing a packet of the information and the results back out to the physician at their provider office. A few years later, an AFIX coordinator was hired and a separate one-hour feedback meeting was created and was added to our Michigan AFIX process. This made the AFIX process 2 visits to the provider office, 1 for that manual chart review and 2 for that one-hour feedback meeting. During the feedback meeting, data and results were reviewed along with the discussion about the identified barriers to the vaccinations and the possible solutions and what could be done in the practice to help minimize those. The AFIX visits were voluntary and were conducted by 1 central state-based staff person for the entire states, for the state. It takes about 9.5 hours from the bottom of the lower peninsula to reach the top of the upper peninsula in good weather. It was in 1996 that the Michigan State Legislature approved the creation of the Michigan Childhood Immunization Registry, and that language was amended in 1997, and it was about 1998 when the registry, which we called the MICR, actually became operable, and the MICR was also added to part of our Michigan Public Health Code and into our administrative rules. All births in Michigan since January 1st of 1994 are entered into the MICR through our electronic birth records. 95% of our birthing hospitals use the electronic birth system in Michigan, and that captures about 97% of all our births. MICR is an opt-out registry, and it also interoperates with our death registry, meaning the records of people that have deceased are locked from anyone viewing them, and it also prohibits any generation of reminder or recall letters. We have over 10,000 registered sites. Those are provider offices, hospitals, schools, daycares, and we have over 24,000 registered users. It is now a web-based registry. Our MICR is linked to both our WIC and our Medicaid programs. About 50% of our less than 1-year-olds in Michigan are enrolled in WIC, and about 40% of our less than 1-year-olds are enrolled in Medicaid. Dose information is entered primarily into the MICR through manual data entry at the provider office level. But there are doses that are entered through the transfer of electronic records, data from large health systems. Providers are able to generate immunization status for individual people in the registry, and also immunization profile reports are almost instantly generated so a practice can get their coverage level for specific ages and specific vaccines. In May of 2005, schools in Michigan started using a component of the MICR. 70% of our daycare facilities and school buildings report immunizations to the state through the registry. This is the immunization profile report that I mentioned. Providers are able to get an instant coverage level percent for their patients. The provider indicates what age range. The one you see up on the screen is for 19 to 36 month olds for the series of 431-3314. And this practice has 970 total children in that age range. 690 of them meet that criteria, equaling 71% coverage level. The registry only allows valid doses to be calculated in this percentage. MICR is funded by our Healthy Michigan Fund and Medicaid with an annual operating cost of about $2.4 million. You can look at materials and other information about the MICR at our website at mcir.org. And it is now, as I think I mentioned earlier, it's the Michigan Care Improvement Registry. We had legislation a couple years ago that extended it to the whole lifespan from birth to death. So back to AFICS. In early 2000, our AFICS program was growing and we hired additional staff at the state level and we created and had two specific goals. One was to increase the number of AFICS visits and the second was to increase the usefulness of the information provided at the feedback meetings. Our AFICS team thought about how we could change the AFICS process to start using and to complement the registry data. And we created a process to conduct quality assurance or quality improvement with our data that we collected at the from the patient's charts. And we called this process the Quality Data Comparison, or QDC project. The QDC project was implemented with all of our AFICS visits, and the data was still entered into the CASA software program from the patient's charts at the provider office. But then when we returned to our state office, we did a comparison. We pulled up each of the individual dose dates that we collected at the provider offices and compared it with what's in the registry. If dose dates weren't already in the registry, we added that to the registry for the provider. If there were dose dates that were in the registry that we did not collect from the immunization record at the patient at the provider office, we printed out that individual immunization record, highlighted or circled the missing information that we didn't collect, and we would include that into our feedback meeting at the provider level. For 3 years, we kept track of the data from, this shows data from 2002 to 2004. We reviewed the three AFICS team, the three-member AFICS team looked at more than 35,000 patient charts, and we entered more than 50,000 dose dates into the registry. And what was a little bit surprising to many people, we identified almost 60,000 dose dates that were in the registry that was not in the patient's chart on their immunization record. When these QDC results were presented and discussed at the feedback meetings, it was a prime opportunity for our AFICS staff to review the importance of accessing both the immunization record out of the registry and using the patient's chart. Because along with the data obtained as a result of the QDC, the process gave us that opportunity to discuss this with the providers and their staff. We identified that the MICR can be a useful tool to the office, and the provider staff was recognizing that as well. We were able to show the physician offices how, when we combine the data from their patients' charts, along with the data that's in the registry, that their coverage levels could increase, on average about 9%, but there were many offices that we saw it increase up to 20%. Providers, seeing and believing that information, started to think and believe that the MICR was more than just a depository of data. It could save them time and assist them with immunizing their patients more effectively. So having that QDC process in place was a great quality assurance project, and it helped gain confidence with us at the state level and at the provider level and at the county health department level to believe what's in the MICR was accurate, but we needed to use both sets of data. Having this QDC process added several hours of time to the analysis portion of the AFIX visit. After the manual chart review and before the feedback meeting, it was hours and hours of work. And we were not increasing the number of provider offices being reached with AFIX, and that was one of our goals. So we looked at what providers in the state were getting with their chart-based AFIX, as well as looking at the time it took to conduct this classic type of AFIX visit. Could we get rid of that manual chart review and just use MICR data for feedback meetings? We thought the answer to that was yes, very clearly. Could our local health department staff conduct those feedback meetings? Our local health department staff have always been contracted to do the VFC site visits. So the prime thought was that we would add AFIX into the site visits as well as VFC. And our state AFIX team was hesitant to answer yes to that question because, as some of you that work with AFIX know, understanding the AFIX methodology may not be complicated, but understanding how it works at the provider level can be. It has data, clinical, and behavioral approaches. And the learning curve can be lengthy, not just to understand the AFIX methodology, but in facilitating an efficient and effective feedback meeting. So then we looked at, well, what can MICR have to offer the AFIX process? Up to now, MICR could only do the A in AFIX. It provided the coverage levels. So we had meetings. We met with our internal state immunization staff, as well as other state staff outside of immunizations. And we had external stakeholder meetings, getting information, comments, and wish lists from people from the CDC, from our local health departments. We had physicians, nurses, office managers, as well as representatives from local health systems and health plans in Michigan. And then we met with our programmers, our MICR staff. We presented the CASA software program to them. We showed them the reports. We told them what we liked. We told them what some of our challenges were, and we included a wish list. So a few days later, I was sent a set of eight, what we now call AFIX reports, which some of you are very familiar with the COCASA reports. So what did we end up with? Well, CDC had been recommending for us for some time that the best way to increase that number of AFIX visits was to completely and totally combine the AFIX and VFC site visits together. So we took the plunge and decided that since the local health department staff conduct all of our VFC site visits in Michigan with private providers, that they now could include AFIX with these site visits. However, the local health department staff had limited familiarity and experience with the AFIX activities. So therefore, we created this AFIX basic overview report. It's only a one-page report, including coverage level percents and some general data from other diagnostic areas and detailed AFIX reports. We did program all of the COCASA reports into the registry, and we changed what we refer to them, the general name, we always refer to them as COCASA or COCASA reports, and we now call them AFIX reports. Here's a picture of that AFIX basic overview report. You'll see at the very top is what we call the header section. It contains the provider or the office name, as well as the VFC PIN number, the age range we're assessing, and some other general information. On the right, you'll see the vaccines that we include. And for those of you that are from Michigan, you may not have seen this. This is an update. We're hoping to release it in the fall to include any eligible vaccine that we're able to give. The very middle portion of the report shows the coverage levels for four doses of DTaP, the number and the percent. And then where it says up to date is the up to date for the vaccine series that we're looking at, which right now we're looking at the 431-331 series. The bottom portion of the report gives some general information that can be used for feedback and exchange of information, including the number of invalid doses, the number of patients missing and overdue, patients who could be brought up to date with just one visit. These reports are generated almost immediately. Sometimes depending on the speed of the state server, we encourage people to generate them at least 5 days prior to their site visit so they have time to review them. And usually an overnight generation is standard. For those of you familiar with COCASA reports, I just wanted to show you that our MICR programmers were able to make our AFIX reports look almost exactly like the COCASA reports without the coloring. So there's what's called a single antigen report. This is an invalid doses list report. We did expand the explanation for the reasons not valid to include the live-live rule was not met, the number of days between the last dose was too early, so on and so forth. So that's a little bit different from the COCASA report. That pie chart on the summary report and the flow chart report. So that's just a few. Those of you that work in COCASA know that there's many, many more reports available, and we do have those in our registry. All of our local health department staff, as well as our state immunization staff, have access and can use the AFIX reports. We created, to go along with these AFIX reports and knowing that we needed to train our local health department staffs on how to use them, we did a training of our local health departments at our state immunization coordinator meetings, and we added one page of questions to the standard VFC site visit questionnaire. So our VFC site visit questionnaire, which was 7 pages long, now became 8 pages long. We also offered additional training and resources, a detailed AFIX report training to each of our local health department sites. We went on site and did the training to teach them about the AFIX reports and to learn the art of presenting AFIX at a feedback meeting. The training itself, with the detailed training that was on site, takes about 3 hours to complete with local health department staff. And the module, just to give you an idea, is about 100 slides long. Michigan requires that the AFIX reports be generated and printed prior to a local health department staff going out for a site visit. The data contained in the AFIX reports provides the reviewer with information about that practice. So it's key that they become familiar with what the number says and what type of barriers the numbers indicate so that they can talk with the people at the provider office to communicate what some of those resolutions might be. So here's a quick look at where we are right now. 100% of all our AFIX visits are registry-based. We've eliminated the use of COCASA at our provider offices for site visits. This allows us to utilize the more than 200 local health department nurses to conduct the AFIX visits, meaning every VFC provider that receives a site visit that has any children 19 to 36 months of age will receive an AFIX visit at the same time as their VFC site visit. And our local health departments do get payment for that. We kept the same defaults or standards for our registry-based assessments as we had for the chart-based, which is 19 to 36 months. The current vaccine series we're looking at is 431331, and that will change, hopefully. I think it's next year we'll be including the other four doses of Prevnar. We asked the local health department reviewers to identify two areas to improve immunization practices on, whether it's a not so good practice or even the really well-performing practices. We asked them to identify two areas to continue to work on or to improve on. That AFIX basic overview report can be left with the provider office. And then we also offer follow-up and assistance to the local health departments from our state staff. This is that one page of the VFC site visit form for AFIX visits. The very top questions come directly from the basic overview report. We ask them how many total children do they have at the practice that are in that age range, what's the coverage level. We also ask them the coverage level of the lowest single vaccine rate so they can help. We help to have them focus on what's the issue in a practice. Let's just not think it's the fourth DTaP or think it's HIB because of the shortage. Let's get that number right from the overview report. And then on the bottom of the page, we offer them 9 of our most standard recommendations that we found through the years. They can choose additional areas to focus on for AFIX, But we gave them these 9 options to choose 2 of them because we wanted to keep them focused on the AFICS behavior and not on the VFC standards of storage and handling or syringe lengths or do not unplug signs, those things that are covered in the VFC portion. So we sort of give them a little assistance on identifying 2 areas. We did include last year an edition of what we call the AFICS comprehensive report form. It's 2 additional pages to provide assistance with local health department reviewers to get a little bit more detailed with private provider offices. So we go into the more detailed or comprehensive AFICS reports, asking specifically how many children have the invalid doses, how many patients can be brought up to date, how many patients had missed opportunities for the simultaneous administrations. And then what we think is more important and more helpful is giving them some prompting questions for that exchange of information and feedback. Why is that one area that they recommended for improvement important, and what specific processes can they do in that practice to improve in that area? And then also we are asking our reviewers to identify whether this was an area that was recommended on the last AFICS visit. And if it was, what has changed since then? If there's been no change, then they write that in. If there's been a change for the better or a change where they still have opportunities and challenges, then we want them to write that also. We did include this year what we call AFICS follow-up visits. Any provider site that has more than 100 children and less than a 70% coverage level, 6 months after the date of the site visit, they'll receive an AFICS follow-up visit. And that is conducted either by the local health department staff or by our state staff. If the local health department staff do that, they will receive payment for it. If the state does it, then no one gets payment, but it still gets done. And it's to help to make a connection with that private provider office, whether it's through the phone or in person, to see where they're at with implementing those 2 recommendations. So comparing the MICR versus chart-based assessments, we haven't seen any significant differences in coverage level percents, which is good. We have been able to reach more providers with our AFICS visits. And because of the history of the registry in Michigan and doing that quality data comparison project, the data and information we share with providers has been accepted as reliable. The actual total time for an AFICS visit has been reduced because in the past we had to do a manual chart review, come back to the office, do an analysis, and then go back to the provider office to do that 1-hour feedback meeting. Now it's done by the local health department staff at the same time as the VFC site visit, which means that the time for the site visit for the local health department at the private provider office has increased. But to my surprise, it really has been met with limited resistance by the local health departments. And the local health department reviewers, the more often they do a VFC AFICS combined site visit, it increases their knowledge of AFICS and their comfort level and their buying into the program and taking ownership of AFICS with their providers. So here's a chart that shows the number of AFICS visits in Michigan since 1995 on the left. The 3 columns on the right have been the last 3 years. You can see significantly our number of AFICS visits since we started using the registry has increased dramatically. This last year we did 980 compared to an average. I mean, our high number was 207 doing the classic style of AFICS visits. Some of the areas identified for further analysis that has prompted future changes are that some practices may not be entering all of the dose dates for all of their patients. So therefore, there are some patients and some vaccines that are missing from our AFICS reports. And patients that have been identified by the practice as the MOGIs, that's the moved or gone elsewhere, still appear on the AFICS reports. We do not have a standard or option for anyone in Michigan to MOGI a child out of our registry. And we still have people on both sides on wanting to activate a MOGI so that a provider can get them off of their coverage levels, and then there's probably just as many of our staff that say, no, we don't want a MOBI, because we want to be able to identify those kids that aren't up to date and still try to reach them. Some of the plans for the future, there's been no real day of rest. We continue to offer the one-on-one AFIX trainings for our local health department staffs, and we are planning to expand our AFIX reports to include any vaccine that's eligible for a person, and expanding the age ranges as well, so that we can start including our adolescent populations. I do want to thank Barb Day and Becky Taylor. They were two of our AFIX specialists in Michigan during our transition in building the registry-based AFIX visits. And since this change has been so successful, they've been moved into an immunization field rep position. But I wanted to acknowledge and thank them for all their work, because it took many hours on that QDC project. I also want to acknowledge staff at the Michigan Immunization Program. Many of them create an environment which allows and permits creativity and innovation. And I always remember my original mentor. She taught me to keep an eye on the goal, but also to allow ourselves to think outside the box, to remember when we're on a path of change that we need to permit ourselves to stop and take a look and see what's alongside that path. Stay focused, but to keep an open mind. Many people have contributed to making Michigan's AFIX program the success that it is, and it can continue to become. Local health department staff, one of the lessons learned, our local health department staff really did and still require extensive training and learning to go beyond the clinical and looking at the numbers. We need to teach them and have them learn in a way to present information in the art so that we can have providers accepting of the recommendations and to change the behaviors. Thank you.